As Malcolm Turnbull wings his way to Paris for the global climate talks via a pit stop CHOGM meeting in Malta, the opposition leader Bill Shorten will tonight unveil Labor's long-awaited emissions targets. Labor says it will use the Climate Change Authority's recommendations of a 45% cut by 2030 as a basis for consultations. The government's commitment is for 26 to 28% reduction by then. And Labor says it will also commit to a policy of net zero emissions by 2050. It's described as an ambitious plan. I was joined earlier by Labor's environment spokesman, Mark Butler. It is ambitious, almost twice the level set by the government. Is it achievable?
Well, it's in line. Our starting point for these consultations are in line with the expert advice from the Climate Change Authority. This is the authority that was set up by the Parliament to provide exactly this advice, not just to the Parliament of Australia, but to the Australian community. So we want to go out over the next few months and by the end of March have had a very deep discussion with business, with unions and other stakeholders about the achievability of that target in the light of a Paris conference, which we think is very likely to be a successful conference, and a range of other domestic factors like the impact on jobs, particular regions and households.
Okay, you say you'll use the 45% figure as a basis for consultations. Does that mean it could end up as being less?
Well, we think that's the start for the discussion. That's really what the government should have done. Under the legislation in the Parliament, the government should have received that report and provided a formal response to it. Instead, we had Tony Abbott's targets, which put Australia right at the back of the pack. Now, after the change of leadership, I guess we waited to see whether Malcolm Turnbull would be true to his historical position on climate change and lift the government's level of ambition. But instead, Malcolm Turnbull's flying to Paris now with Tony Abbott's policies in his pocket with no change whatsoever. So we feel as the alternative government of the country, we've got an obligation to lift Australia's ambition, to make sure that Australia keeps at the head of the pack with countries like the US and Germany and the United Kingdom, rather than at the back of the pack.
Well, it's certainly ahead of the pack because it's ahead of them, isn't it? It's ahead of the US, a 41% target, and Europe's overall target of 34%.
Well, it's lower than the UK's target of 51%. It's in keeping with Germany and Norway's target. And it is slightly higher than the US target for 2030. But it's very likely, we think, that the US is going to lift its target. And Canada, after the election of Justin Trudeau, has also indicated it's likely to lift their target. So we think that we'll be at the head of the pack. We're not ahead of the pack, but right at the head of the pack with countries to which we usually compare ourselves, and that's vastly preferable, we think, to being shut out of the investment and jobs boom that will flow from the shift to clean technology and renewable energy. Okay. And it's also, we think, consistent with our obligation, the commitment we've made to future generations to ensure that global warming does not exceed 2 degrees Celsius.
Government modelling suggests that your figure, this 45% figure, would trim 0.7 of 1% off GDP by 2030. That's likely to be around $30 billion. Can we afford it?
Well, the modelling from the former Reserve Bank board member Warwick McKibben, done for Tony Abbott, would indicate that over the course of the 2020s decade, the economy under a 45% target would grow by 23% instead of 23.4%, I think, which would be the growth rate under the Abbott targets. There's a very small impact on growth over 10 years that you'll see there, but there is also, Warwick McKibben says, a substantial positive impact on investment as you see a shift to clean technology and clean jobs. But we also have to bear in mind, are we keeping true to our commitment to ensure that global warming does not exceed 2 degrees Celsius? And that's the discussion we're going to have over the next 3 months with business, unions, stakeholders and others.
Will household energy costs have to increase to meet this goal?
Well, we already laid out a very ambitious plan on electricity to move to at least 50% renewable energy by 2030. And we're also looking at the impact on the broader electricity sector there. You'll see the chief executives of AGL, Origin and others also now talking about the need, the crying need for an holistic plan to transition the electricity sector from a very heavy fossil fuel intensive sector that we've had in the past to a cleaner system. And that also, it's going to require some very deep consideration.
Okay, well, to achieve this goal, you'll have to go to the next election with a new plan for an emissions trading scheme. That was described recently by the former Prime Minister as a carbon tax by another name. Now, this clearly is going to set up another political fight over the cost, generally, of curbing emissions. As we all know, the public was pretty hostile to the last fight and certainly to the idea of a carbon tax. Is there any evidence the mood's changed out there?
Well, I think the evidence polling released by the Lowy Institute only earlier this week indicates that Australians want a level of ambition here. They recognise, firstly, our obligation to the rest of the world and perhaps even more importantly to future generations to ensure that global warming does not exceed 2 degrees. But they also recognise increasingly that there is a clean technology, renewable energy boom around the corner. And Australia can either be a leader in that boom and benefit from the jobs and the investment that will come from it, or it can be at the back of the pack, which is where Tony Abbott and it would appear Malcolm Turnbull want Australia to be.
Okay, can I just quickly ask you about another question that the ABC is, another story the ABC is running today, which is an investigation into branch stacking in the Victorian ALP, which has recommended tearing up the membership cards of nearly 200 members. The allegations are that they were given prepaid gift cards to sign up to the party. Who was behind that and how widespread is this kind of behaviour?
Well, as I understand it, there was some report from the inquiry that set up to look into these very serious allegations of branch stacking that was provided to the executive of the Victorian branch last night. I haven't seen it. I've seen some very brief reports of it, and I don't want to comment before I've had the chance to look into that into more detail. But can I just say it is critically important, particularly as we move, I think, as a party to giving members more and more influence in the policy direction of the party and the pre-selection of important positions, that our membership be one of integrity and that this branch stacking is stamped out wherever it arises.
Labor's environment spokesman Mark Butler.